Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Well, as I say, I'm delighted to see everybody here. And one of the reasons why I'm delighted to see everyone here is because I many times joke and tell you people that I'm going to tell you the secret of life. Tonight I'm going to do that. I'm going to tell you a very big part of that secret of life. It's time that we all know this. And it's time that we give up the thinking. You know, this whole teaching, which we call metaphysics, or what I teach, a form of metaphysics called religious science or science of mind, which was founded by a man called Ernest Holmes. Now, when we say was founded by a man called Ernest Holmes, what he did is he took the truth, which goes through every religion, through every philosophy, and he made a book from that. He condensed everything into what was supposed to be a simple form. But it's not a simple form. Now, Ernest Holmes is a little difficult to read simply because his language is antiquated and also because he writes sometimes in a mystical way. But one thing that Ernest Holmes said was this. He did not want this to become a religion, that they turned it right into a religion. And this is what I want to tell you this evening. Although I am a minister of religious science, this is not a church. You do not have to go to a church. I am not here to convert anyone to religious science. If you have a religion, you keep that religion. You can add this to what you already know. But I will tell you this. This teaching is always going to be a God-oriented teaching. It's always going to be a God-oriented teaching. Why is that? Because God is all there is. There is no other power out there in the universe. There is no other thing out there in the universe, and there is no other life out there in the universe except the life of God. Therefore, each and every one of us is an individualized expression of that life, of that intelligence, of that consciousness. And what each and every one of us is a point of life and a point of information. We are pure consciousness. And this is what you have to remember. Many times I say to you people, do not let the world convince you. The world is very convincing. Why is the world convincing? Because we live, move, and have our being in a thought atmosphere. And that thought atmosphere is what I call race mind. And when you buy into race mind, you can go through your whole life, living your life, thinking that everything is absolutely right. But race mind is always going to teach duality. And if you have duality going on in your mind, you are not going to be able to manifest something. What do I mean by duality? You cannot say that I am abundant, I am prosperous, and money is always freely circulating in my life, and then have thoughts of lack and limitation. That would be duality. And the mind cannot take duality. If the mind takes duality, it creates duality. So sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. That's the odds, you see. And that's what the world teaches. The world teaches you that it's a game of odds, you see. We don't live in that universe. This is what you have to hear. If you hear nothing else, hear this. It's an absolute mental world that you live in. And it is your mind that is creating everything that is in your life. Nobody else is doing that but you. You may say, well, it's my parents' fault, it's this person's fault, it's that person's fault. You can believe that, but because you're believing that, you are causing that, you see. And that's what the world teaches. I want you to realize that you are new, brand new in your thinking every minute, every moment. You let the past go. You let everything go and you start over. I used the word last week, I said, we make this thing up. I was confronted afterwards by two people who said, oh, that can't be true. We can't be making this up. I am telling you that you're making up everything. And I'm going to go so far as to tell you that you're making up God, the God that you know you are making up. Now, I'm not saying that there is not a God, but the God that you know you are making up, because there is no one who knows God. We can know little bits and pieces of God. And we can put God together for ourselves. But we have made God up, you see. God is beyond thoughts and words. You have to know that. You have to know that you're pure consciousness, that you are points of light and information. When I say that you're points of light and information, the information that you have inside of you right now, inside of your consciousness, is making up who you are. What kind of information do you have? You believe right now, and I hear the world believe right now, and I heard it at dinner tonight. The flu virus is going around, and people are getting the flu virus. You see? That's information. And if you believe that information, then that's it, but that's a fact. And you cannot live with facts. Facts change constantly. What you have to know is, yes, in their universe, those people are getting sick and they may have the flu. But the truth is that the life of God, which only knows health, is coursing through every cell in my body right here and right now, and I am in perfect health. Those are the thoughts that you must learn to think. You cannot think two thoughts at once. You cannot have duality going on inside of your consciousness. Does that make sense to you? Mm-hmm. So what I want you to understand is, although we do this religiously and people have turned this into a religion, it is not a religion, but it is a God-oriented philosophy. It's always going to be a God-oriented philosophy. But you have to take that then and decide what you want. And that's what everyone did. Martin Luther started something. The Catholics have something. The Mormons have something. The Jewish people have Moses. They have all these, but they're other people's ideas. You have to start to think for yourself. And you don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but you have to start questioning. You have to start asking yourself questions. What do I think? Who am I? And what do I really want? What do I really want? Not what the world wants me to do, not what my parents want me to do, not what my boss wants me to do, not what my wife wants me to do. What do I really want? And you must ask that till you get an answer. You must realize that we are truly living, moving, and having our being in the mind of God. If you hear nothing else also tonight, hear that. That there's only the mind of God. And that mind of God we are using as individual points in that mind. Now, this is very important because what is known in one spot in mind, God mind, must be known in all spots of God mind. That is how you heal. That is how I heal people. That is how I make demonstrations for people. Because if I know it, I know that it's in the mind of God, and I am one point in the mind of God. And if I know that, then you people must know that also, because you're using that mind. Very simple. But the ego gets in our way, and ego tells us this is who you are. You are not your ego, people. That ego is your personality. It's just a little facet of who you are. And talking about making things up, we make up our personality, people. You didn't think you were born with a personality. You started to make that up. You borrowed from your parents. You borrowed from this person. You said, oh, I think I like that. Oh, I think I want to become... And you made yourself up. So know that if you made yourself up and you don't like what you made, you can make it over again. You can make it over again. How many times have you heard me say that the laws in the universe, these universal laws, these divine laws, these spiritual laws that I talk about all the time are immutable? They're immutable. That means that they do not change. But inside of that immutable, everything that you do can be changed because it's mutable, not immutable. So inside the immutable laws, is the idea that you can morph anything that you want under that umbrella. Does that make sense to you? So when you can morph something, you have to go to that field and decide, this is the way I want to think, and this is what I want in my life, and this is the universe that I want to live in, and this is the reality that I want to have. And you can obtain that reality. You can obtain that reality. So that's the big secret. The big secret is to realize that it's a mental world, that you're always living, moving, and having your being in the mind of God. And if you don't like the thoughts you're thinking, change those thoughts. Learn to think God thoughts after it. You see, I cannot think unless God thinks, and when I think, God thinks, and vice versa. You have to remember that. So if you think you're not thinking big enough, know that you have this great big thing out there. You see, how many people here have computers? Everyone has computers. Do you understand everything about your computer? But you can run that computer, can't you? You don't have to understand everything about God, but you can run God. But you can run God. See? Now, if you wanted to do your taxes, how many people here have that TurboTax for their computer? Or a tax thing? Nobody has it. All right, so then you can't run it, right? It's a program. So you can do all day long your computer. If you don't have that program in, it's not going to work, is it? Same way with the mind of God. If you don't put the right program in, you can treat all day long. You can make affirmations all day long. But they're not going to work because you haven't put the software in. You haven't put it in. You have to see where that goes. So you have to put what you want into the mind of God. And that know that I have the right program. You can say that to yourself after you're done with a treatment, after you're done with an affirmation. Look at it and say, ha ha, that's a program I just made and I'm stuffing it in to the big computer. To the big computer. And now it's able to run something. You see, the mind of God is always out there. This thing that we call the laws of cause and effect, it's always running. But if you don't put the right program into it, you're not going to get what you want. Last week I explained the whole thing. Many people, how many people here believe in miracles? How many people here are getting miracles? You see, you have to believe in miracles and you have to be able to have a miracle in your life. Many people are not open to miracles. They think, oh, that sounds like a good idea, but you know, this is a little far-fetched and so forth. You have to know that it's not far-fetched. You have to know that when you ask for something, you see what happens is, most people's expectations of what they want from themselves and what they want from the universe are very low. Are very low. You have to bring up your expectations. You have to expand this thing called expectation. How do you do that? Well, let's start using our imagination. You hear me talk about imagination every time. Most important tool you have in your toolbox. Most important tool that you have in your toolbox. Remember, it was Albert Einstein, whom some people consider the most intelligent man that was ever on this planet so far. He said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Is more important than knowledge. You see, if you don't use your imagination, if you gulp down everything, even everything that I say, although it's absolutely correct, you're not thinking. You're just taking in what I'm saying. I want you to take what I say and I want you to expand it. I want you to take it and rip it to shreds. But I want you to learn to think. I want you to learn to think. Remember, the motto is, change your mind, change your life. But most people think, oh, that just means that I have to change from being negative to being positive. It has nothing to do with negativity and positivity. You must remember that this thing that we call God reigns on the just and on the unjust. Reigns on the negative and reigns on the positive. This is why so many people say, well, they don't do anything right. Look, they have everything. God doesn't care about that. Only you care about that. The law of cause and effect continues and continues and continues. It is immutable. It does not say, I'm not giving it to you because you're not a good person. Remember the old Mae West thing? I love that story of Mae West. She walks in with all the diamonds on, and the girl behind the counter says to her, "Oh, my goodness, Miss West, what beautiful diamonds." Mae West turns and said, "Goodness had nothing to do with it, dearie." You must remember that. Goodness has nothing to do with it. Yes, we're taught to be good. It feels good to be good. But it has nothing to do with anything. It has nothing to do with anything. I think what I am trying to tell you here is, everyone thinks that if you have a God, and you worship this God, and you pray to this God, you're going to get what you want. That is not necessarily so. That is not necessarily so. You see, God does not need worship. God does not need prayed to. But you do. You need the worship. You need to pray to yourself. You have to realize how wonderful you are, how magnificent you are. You have to come to the conclusion that that thing that we call divinity is living inside of you. And you have to be aware of that. And you have to start using that, and you have to start seeing that. This will expand your whole life. You see, we only have a few years here on this plane of action. Say we live 100 years. We'll expand it to 100 years. How far along are you in that? How far along are you in that? Are you going to wait till you're on your deathbed and finally have an aha moment and say, "Oh, now I think I'm divine"? Why don't you do that right now? Take your hand and just go, "I'm divine.
I'm divine."
Yes. Don't wait. Don't wait. You're waiting for permission. You're waiting for somebody else to give you that permission. Don't wait for that permission. This thing we call God is in you, as you, and through you, and wants to give you everything. So it starts inside of you and inside of your thinking and inside of your consciousness. And that is why we teach. That is why I teach. You have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter every moment of every day. So with that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay! So, also, give up this idea that you have to be so religious. Give that idea up, you see. You don't have to beat yourself over the brow constantly, saying, "Oh my goodness, what's God thinking of me now? What's going on? I have to say something good to God. I have to do this, that, and the other thing." Go out and live your life. Go out and get what you want from life. And know that you can do it. Why can you do it? Because you have this power inside of you that wants to give you everything. The only thing that's ever holding us back is our own limitations of ourselves. We think we cannot do it. You have to think that you can do it. And then you go and do it. You see? So start your day always with that. I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. And I'm going to learn to use this teaching. And I'm going to learn it in my own way. Start using that wonderful thing that you call a mind, that wonderful thing that you call a brain. Start using your own. You see, you can make up anything that you want. So start. If you can make up anything that you want, why don't you start seeing yourself as a wonderful human being? Why don't you start seeing yourself as an emissary of light and love? Why don't you do that? You can do that. You see? And you can take every one of these ideas from me and from anybody else and add to them. You see, if no one did that, we would still be in the Dark Ages. It's only the imagination of man that has raised man to the level that they are today. Without our imagination, we would have gotten nowhere. But it always comes from one person and then everyone else How many times have, that can't be done. And then somebody does it and says, I guess it can be done. Now we'll all do it. You see? But you have to learn that for yourself. Why don't you be one of those people? Maybe years ago, I told you, you must all become map makers. You must make your own map in this world. You can't use my map. I can't use your map. But you can make your own map. What do you want from life? Who am I? These are the questions you must ask yourself daily. What do I really want? And you do it till you get the answer. And the answer will come. Why will the answer come? Because that mind that you're living, moving, and having your being in is listening to everything and is willing to do that for you and find that answer for you. And find it for you. This is what life is all about. This is what this teaching is all about. That it's learning to think for yourself. Regardless of what other people say, regardless of what the community says, regardless of what the world out there says, you have to start. You see, we live in consensus of everything all the time. We live in consensus. You don't have to live in that, you see. The world teaches the law of averages. That's what the world does. So many people will die today. Law of averages. 1 out of 10 people get this. When you move up to the law of cause and effect, you realize I'm the one that's causing this. I don't have to live in the law of averages. So many houses sell. Why? That's somebody else's reality, not your reality. When you learn that you can make your own reality, and when you say to yourself, I can be responsible for the reality that I make, you will start making everything better for yourselves. Everything will turn around for you. You see? But it requires your thinking. So you do that for yourself. You see? You can come to these classes. And I'm delighted you come to these classes. I will tell you, I can think of nothing better than I love than to come and teach this class. I also, before, said to you, what's known in one point of mind must be known in all points of mind. So, you know, sometimes I may not know your names, but I know everybody here, and I know your energies. And I hold those always in my mind. And when I hold them in my mind, I know that they're in the mind of God. So I see each and every one of you as wonderful human beings. I see each and every one of you as totally successful. And I will hold that till that comes to you. And it will come to you. There's no other way that it works, you see. So you have to start doing that for yourself. You have to start doing that for yourself. You can believe in God, or you don't have to believe in God. Doesn't matter. The law will continue exactly. Will always be there, whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God. But if you do believe in God, and you say to yourself, I do believe in God, then you must give up fear. You must give up fear. You cannot say, I believe in God, but I'm fearful. I don't think this is going to happen. I don't think this is going to work. Any fear. That's a house divided against itself. That's duality. And we have enough of that going on out there. We have so many people spouting off that they just think God's wonderful. But they're living in total fear. They're living in total fear. You cannot live in fear. You cannot live in fear. Most people are living in fear over money. Most people are afraid of money. You must give that idea up that money has any power over you whatsoever. You must realize that money is always freely circulating in your life and that you always have a divine surplus and that money will always be there for you. That money is not the issue. If you think money's the issue, you better look a little further inside of yourself and find out what it is. Because money is never going to be the issue. It's going to be one of four things. Either you don't think that you're worthy, you don't think that you're deserving, you don't think that you're lovable enough, or you don't think that you matter enough, you see. Somebody says, well, I matter a little. Well, you're only going to get as much as you think you matter. You have to expand yourself and expand your thinking and your consciousness. You have to keep expanding that and expanding that. Sunday night, I went to see Joan Rivers. She has a one-woman show, a little play that she wrote. I have never been a particularly fond fan of Joan Rivers, but I want to tell you she's absolutely marvelous. She has the filthiest mouth in town. That is beside the point. I left there feeling very good. She was uplifting. And one of the things that she said was this. She said her grandmother used to collect all the plates, but say, keep your fork, because something better is coming. Keep your fork because something better is coming. Dessert was coming. And that's what you have to remember. Keep your fork. Something better is coming. Don't throw all the stuff away like that. Think of that. Keep your fork. Joan Rivers is 74 years old. At the end of the show, she said, they want me to stop. She said, this is my life. I love doing this. Why should I stop? You see, she knows who she is. She knows what she really wants. And she's getting what she wants. And she's been through a lot of things in her life. She never left anything defeat her, even when her husband killed herself. And she had to start over at the age of 56. She was gone. Money, everything was gone. She started over. Never gave up on herself. You see, don't give up on yourself. Don't ever give up on yourself. You are a wonderful human being. You have to know that you're a wonderful human being. And use everything in your power to become what you want to become. And you can do it. And now you know that you have help doing it. You see, we're not alone. There's nothing we can do alone. You're saying, if you know that you live, move, and have your being in the mind of God, and this thing that we call God is in, as, and through you, how could you feel alone? How could you think you had it all to do yourself? How many times have you heard me say, I have no idea what I'm doing sometimes? And I say that, God, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I know you do, so you're going to have to do this. And lo and behold, it happens. It gets done. It gets done. So, see, it requires more than this little buzzword that we have in religious science called change your mind, change your life. It requires changing your reality. It requires changing the paradigm or the box that you're living in. Getting rid of that and getting a new idea of yourself, you see. If you live in a box where you believe the world, that we must die of some disease, you're going to die of some disease. Whether you believe in God or don't believe in God, because God is not going to stretch your box for you. Only you are going to do that. So you leave that box and you go to a bigger box where that is not happening. That is called morphing. That is called morphing a reality. Remember, the law of cause and effect is immutable. But in that immutable law, What you do with that is mutable, meaning it's pliable. So you can do anything inside of that law that you want to do. You can do anything with your life that you want to do. You can do anything with your thinking that you want to do. But you've got to learn to think. And you've got to, remember there used to be those signs. You used to see signs that said, think, think, think. Whatever happened to those signs called think, think, think? They're gone. You know, there's a whole phenomenon going on in the United States, and it's called the dumbing down of America. America is being so dumbed down. Why is it being dumbed down? Because we start to believe everything that's on that television set, everything that's on that radio, every advertisement that comes out, and we believe that these people are for us. We believe that pharmaceutical companies are telling the truth, that they know what they're saying. They don't know what they're saying. They're making that shit up, people. They're absolutely making it up. You see, when you want to make something up, it's quite easy to make something up. Because you're living in that little box. And when you live in that little box and you want to make something up, then all the information that you need to help you make that up is there for you. It comes to you. That's the way this thing works. That's the law of cause and effect. On that level. So you have to think for yourself and say, does this make sense to me? Is this the way I want my life to run? What do they know that I don't know? You see, we give up our power. We give up our authority constantly. And it started when we started to have what we called specialists. Aha. When I grew up, there wasn't such a thing as a specialist. You went to a doctor, he knew everything. He was called a general practitioner. No such thing today as a general practitioner. You go to a doctor and say, oh, God send you to a specialist. God send you over here, over there. We have dumbed ourselves down, people. Don't do that. Now, what else has dumbed you down? Religion itself has dumbed you down because you swallowed everything they said. I'm not taking anything away from all of that. But I'm asking you to look at it differently. I'm asking you, when there was only one church, one Christian church, called the Catholic Church, there were many different sects in the Catholic Church. They wanted one idea going on. They killed off those sects. And that information that all those sects have is now buried in the libraries of the Vatican. You can get access to the library. You can read these different things. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that either. Only thing I'm ever asking you to do is to think a little. Do you think for one moment that as many times as the Bible has been translated, retranslated, reformulated, edited, re-edited, that it's great? You know that all that is absolutely true that's in there? I don't think so. I think in the 4th century, they ripped that many pages out of the Bible and that many chapters out of the Bible because they didn't understand them. So they said, if I don't understand them, who the hell else is going to understand them? Let's just get rid of them. Those people are ignorant and stupid anyway. Let's keep them that way. And that's what the world is doing to you. It's trying to keep you stupid. Why? What would be one of the reasons? Well, one of the reasons is because it wants your money. It wants your money. And it knows how to get your money, doesn't it? Get your money through fear, usually. Now, all this stuff goes on. And I'm not, again, saying that it's bad or it's good or it's indifferent. What I'm asking you to do is to look at it, is to see it. And to start thinking for yourselves. You see, instead of just taking everything that anyone else tells you. You see, how many times do I tell you, you can go out of here and you can use this teaching, use anything I say, but never say Dallas said it. Make it your own. Modify it. Do anything you want with it. Because if you're just regurgitating what I'm saying, or just rethinking what I'm thinking, you're not building anything. You're not building anything. And that's what happens, because churches want to teach tradition. Well, you can only teach tradition up to a point. And then it loses, because you're not growing. Ernest Holmes said this about this teaching: it's always open at the top. And ever since he said that, people have been trying to close it. People have been trying to say, that's it, that's the ultimate. We're never going to get to the ultimate, people. Why are we never going to get to the ultimate? Because we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God, and the mind of God is infinite. It's infinite. You can think anything you want. Start to think ridiculous things, people. Outrageous things. Laura, get this working in here. And lo and behold, you'll get a wonderful idea. Now, the other thing is, remember how many times I say everything is already done in mind? Everything is already done in mind. You see, we say, oh, we discovered this, we discovered it. We didn't discover anything. It's already done. What we have done is uncovered something. The laws for electricity, for aerodynamics, for anything, was already in the mind of God when Moses was marching through the desert. Was already there, waiting for somebody with an imagination to say, oh, I think that, oh. Then it comes pouring into you. It comes pouring into you. Use your imagination. Remember this Caiaphas call, prosperity and abundance, including money. And I hear many things nowadays about the economy. And our economy isn't doing too well. And real estate's not doing too well. And houses aren't selling. And this isn't happening. And that isn't happening. Now you've just bought into somebody else's idea. And you've just joined their reality. And now you're living in their universe. Under their laws. Why don't you make your own universe and live under your law? You know, when I was a teenager, I had a friend. I had several, but this particular one, Doug Miller was his name. And you know what he always called me? Dallas in Wonderland. Because I would say, oh, let's do it. Oh, I think we, let's do, let's, oh, ma. Learn to be in Wonderland. Learn to see the wonders around you. That's the life that you were born to have. You see, we are, here's the biggest lie. Here's the biggest lie. Most people, and I'm going to make a big statement, 99% of the people think that we're here on this plane of action to suffer. To suffer. You are not here to suffer. Give that up. You learn nothing from suffering except how to suffer better. And your mind, that little ego mind, likes to say, ah, I made it. I suffered. I suffered. Don't suffer. Be here to enjoy. Do you think God is suffering? Can you picture God suffering? Anyone? If you can't picture God suffering, then why would you want to suffer? If you know that you're part of that. If you know that this thing is in as and through you and it doesn't suffer, then why are you suffering? Because collective consciousness, race mind, has told you that lie for so long that it's embedded in the human history, in the human consciousness. And we start to think that is what life is. And we go to many brand name churches who tell you that same damn lie. You're here because you're a sinner. And you've done something naughty, and we don't like it. So you've done nothing naughty. You've done nothing naughty. You have to see that about yourself. You see? It's always going to boil down to you and what you are thinking about yourself. What are you thinking about yourself? I'm a wonderful human being. I'm a wonderful human being. And I have something to give to this world that I live in. And I have something to give to myself. What are you giving to yourself? Are you giving yourself peace of mind? Are you giving yourself love? Are you giving yourself what you really want? Or are you afraid to say what you really want because maybe somebody will laugh at you or somebody will say, well, you can't have that. How? Why would you think you could have that? You see, declare what you want. Know that those desires that you have, where do they come from? They have to come from the mind of God. You cannot have a desire any other way. If you had a desire any other way, what would that be? That would be duality again. You see? So you have to say, oh, that is a divine desire. That is a divine idea. Now it's got something behind it, doesn't it? It has power behind it. So when you get the desire, you get to the idea, you have to realize, huh, if I have this idea, if I have this desire, then everything has to be there for me to accomplish it. Now I have to go and look for that. I have to do something. You see, you're always going to have to get up and move. You're going to have to get up and do something. That is the way it works. And that's what makes it so great. You just can't sit around and go, nah, that isn't going to work. It's going to make you feel very good. But if you want to work, you've got to go knock on that door. You've got to go find that job. You've got to pick up the newspaper. You got to ask people, you got to do something, but you got to know that it's there for you. That it's there for you. And it'll be there for you. Very easy. Very easy. We're into February. Almost the end of February. 2 months into the new year. 2008. Don't wait till 2009 to go, I'm divine. Do that now. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed and say, oh, now I believe in God because I want to go to heaven. You see, you're all going to go to heaven, so stop worrying where you're going to go. I hear many people think they're going to go to hell. You're not going to go to hell. Why are you not going to go to hell? Because if you went to hell, that would be duality. These are rhetorical questions. You see, you can't believe in heaven and hell. You could only believe in heaven. And everyone's going to go to heaven. Why? Because you're God, you're God, you're God, you're God. Now, can you imagine God going to hell? You can't. So you're not. So now, anyone here who was thinking of that, think maybe they're going to slip and go to hell, give that idea up, you're not going to go to hell. Now that leaves room inside of that mind of yours now to think something better. You see? To think something better. To think something better. Don't give up the fork. Don't give up the fork. Something better is coming. Remember, you're always moving from your good to your greater good. How many people here know that? How many people have seen that in their life? You're always moving from your good to your greater good. You're going to move from your good to your greater good, from glory to greater glory. That's this whole idea. That's this whole idea of everything. mental world, total consciousness, living and moving and having our being in the mind of God. Get these things so entrenched in your thinking. Experience these things inside of your body, in every cell and fiber of your body, and give up all that other nonsense. The world is convincing, and your little ego mind is very convincing. Don't let it convince you of those things. You must learn to become a witness to your own thinking. You must be able to put your thinking out in front of you and see what it's doing, and you say, I don't want that, delete, 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 delete. This is what I want. And then start thinking the thoughts that you want to think about yourself, so that you can have this thing that you've heard all your life if you went to church. How many people here have gone to church in their life? How many people know the expression? The peace that passeth all understanding. There's a peace that we cannot understand because we do not know what peace is. Oh, we constantly say, yes, we want peace for the world. We want peace. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to have peace? No one knows what peace is, but there is a peace which passes all understanding. Where is that peace? That peace is behind everything, waiting for you to discover it. But you have to get rid of those ideas of suffering. You have to get rid of the pain in your life. You have to get rid of all those filters that you have put in front of yourself. You have done it. This thing called God, and so I think I'll send him a filter. You did that. Now, don't look so gloomy about it, the whole thing. You maybe forgive yourself and say, oh, yeah, I did that. Ha ha, isn't that fun? And forgive yourself for that. See, that's the next problem, people. You don't want to forgive yourself. You don't want to forgive yourself for being stupid. Forgive yourself. That's all you can do. You'll discover as you go through life. Rhoda may be our oldest member here. But haven't you discovered going through life that forgiving is one of the things that you have to constantly do? And every time that you forgive, does your life not get better? Don't hang on to things, people. Forgive, forgive, forgive. And say, yes, I was stupid. I put a filter in front of me, but I did it. Now I'm taking it away. I'm removing these things. I'm removing these thoughts of lack and limitation that I have carried all these years and sort of danced around and skirted around and played with and thought, oh, it would be fun if I didn't think this way. It would be fun if I... Well, maybe, you know, I'm thinking this crazy thought and I really have had it for quite a while. You know, I better see a therapist. And, you know, in 20, 40 years, they'll remove that from me. Well, now I'm 98 years old. I only have 2 years to go. Don't do that to yourself. Forgive yourself immediately. If you have an issue, get rid of the issue. The world likes to tell you that you're always going to have issues, that that issue is going to be with you the rest of your life. Why? Why? That's their world. That's their reality. You can give up anything you want as soon as you decide to give it up. You think this mind, it stores a great deal of information. It stores all these things. But you don't think of those things that you don't want to think about. You're the one who drags them out and parades them up and down in front of you. Put them in the vault. Lock it up. They're gone. They can't hurt you. Let them go. It starts with forgiving yourself. It starts with forgiving yourself, and then forgive everybody else around you. And you have to do that all day long. All day long. In traffic, I'm always go, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. If I didn't do that, I'd go crazy. I'd probably run into somebody. But you have to. You just have to keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. You will discover, if you can do that, the energy level that you will reach, you will not be able to to believe. The reason why people get tired is because they're holding so many things against themselves, because they will not forgive. Start to forgive and your energy will come back. Your spirit will come back. You're pressing it down. You're holding it in because you won't forgive yourselves. Mental world people, mental. I know people like to say spiritual. It's not a spiritual world. Get rid of that idea. It's a mental world. We happen to be spirits living in a mental world, but it's a mental world. You have to know how to handle that. Let me explain that. Maybe some people don't understand what I mean when I say it's a mental world. A mental world means this: you are making it up with your thinking. Your thoughts are going someplace and they're doing something. They're creating all the time. And they are creating the reality that you see in front of you. The eyes see nothing. It's the mind that sees everything. So if you see lack and limitation, you're going to get lack and limitation. If you see prosperity and abundance, if you see opulence all around you, you will obtain that. Because it's done with your thinking. It has nothing to do with anything else. Nothing to do with anything else. The mind likes to tell you that. The television likes to tell you that. The radio, the papers, the world itself likes to tell you, no, this is why you are the way you are. I am telling you, you are the way you are because you have made up your mind to be that way. And you can change that any time you wish. You can change it any time you wish. Make up your mind who you want to be, what you want to be, and do it. I have done it. I have given up many things in my life. I have given up cigarettes. I have given up, and when I say I've given this up, that doesn't mean I smoke 2 cigarettes. I smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day. I drank 1 gallon of booze a day. Yes, I did. I smoked marijuana. I did all drugs. I did, you know. I don't do any of those things. And I'm very proud of myself, by the way. Oh, I'm so in love with myself. I said, oh, Dallas, you did a good job. I know I've done a good job. Why did I made up my mind. I knew it was a mental world. I knew I was doing this to myself. No one was causing me to smoke cigarettes. I was the one who made up my mind. I didn't blame it on the cigarette company. I didn't blame it on advertising. I said, geez, I'm thinking here. You know, you see a poster out there, big billboards, and all these people are laughing and smiling, and they got a drink in their hand, and you know, oh, if I drink, that makes me happy and sociable. Now, let's start thinking. What is booze going to do for you? Cirrhosis of the liver. Now, I'm not saying don't take a drink. Everything you do, you must do in moderation. You see, I'm not the type that can do anything in moderation. My motto is, nothing succeeds like excess. Mm-hmm. And I know that about myself, so I don't do it. I don't run to therapists and other people. I go inside of my own mind and I start to think. And then I say, God, I can't do this, but I know that you can. So you're going to have to do it for me. And then I let it go. And I forgive myself. And I forgive myself for that. How many people here think that you have mean, hateful thoughts? Everyone has mean, hateful thoughts. They're just thoughts. You don't have to punish yourself for mean, hateful thoughts. You see, people don't tell you that. Everyone says, oh, he's so pious. He's so nice. We never had the mean thing to say. I can be mean. But I choose not to be. I can sit and rip somebody to shreds inside of my mind. I say, mind, stop that. That's not me. That's the ego mind. But Now, I don't punish myself for that. I don't say, Dallas, you're an awful person. You should think differently. No. You're thinking till you come to the point where you can choose what you want to think. You haven't come to the point where you can choose what you want to think. So when a nasty thought comes in, you think that's you. It's only a thought. It's not you at all. It's not you. Give it up. Give it up, people. You are not your mind. Therefore, you are not your thinking. Now, who do you want to be? What do you want to think? Then you change that thought. Mental equivalent. Emmett Fox, remember? You can only think one thought at a time. And to get one thought out of your mind, you think of it as a nail. And you put the other nail on there and you that nail now is gone and the new nail's in. That thought's gone, the new thought's there. Don't punish yourself for that. Oh, we should have been told that as children. People get themselves into more trouble by thinking that they're thinking bad thoughts. And they think they're awful people because they're thinking bad thoughts. You're not an awful person. You cannot be an awful person. Why can't you be an awful person? Because you're an individualized expression of God. There's no way you can be awful. You can have an awful thought, but that thought is not you. That's just an awful thought. You're getting it? Forgive yourself and start thinking differently. You have to love yourself every moment. You have to love yourself every moment. Even when you're having the bad thoughts, you have to love yourself. Why would you ever want to hate yourself? Why? Because somebody told you, this is what I have to do. If I do this now, I have to hate myself. You're living in somebody else's universe, people. You're not thinking for yourself. You're not thinking for yourself. Mental world. Live, move, and have your being in the mind of God. There's only one mind, and that's the mind of God, and we're each and every one of us using that mind. When I think, God thinks. When you think, God thinks. Love yourself. Love yourself. Love yourself. Love yourself. There is no way that you can over-love yourself. There is no way that you can do that. No way you can do that. But you have to love yourself. Remember my little saying? Loving yourself is the highest worship that you can give God. It's the highest worship you can give God is to love yourself. Each and every moment, regardless. Okay, I have some cards. I'll have to go off someplace here. All right. I told you this before. We are composed of light and information or consciousness. That is all we are, is pure God consciousness. Coming to a point of life and using information. Think of yourself as that. Think of yourself as that. We have amazingly low expectations for what we think and can get back from the universe or our life. Think bigger, better thoughts about yourself. Remember my other little saying. If you're not getting what you want out of life, it's because your God is too small. You must get a bigger, better God. Kick that little small God out. Out. And get a bigger God. But always get a bigger idea of who you are, of what you are, and what you want. Bigger, bigger. How many degrees of... this is a question you have to ask yourself. How many degrees of freedom does what I am doing and thinking afford me? You see, when you're thinking, how many degrees of freedom does it give you? You see? Do you understand that one? How many degrees of freedom does what I am doing and thinking afford to me? You must always leave everything open, you see. The thing that happens to people is this. You come to a conclusion. You think God ever comes to a conclusion? No, God just keeps creating. God never comes to a conclusion. You come to a conclusion. You come to a conclusion, you say, this is who I am. You don't know who you are. You're still growing. Think of yourself as a progress. You know. You're progressing into something. If you come to a conclusion about anything, no freedom. No freedom. I conclude this is the way it is. This is the way the world is. This is the way my life is. No freedom. Never do that. Don't. Us versus them mindset. Get out of that idea that always you're fighting evil. You're fighting against something. It's always us and them. That's an impossibility, you see. If you believe in unity and we're all one with God, then we are all one. So there's nothing out there to fight. This is primarily because, this is why we do this, the mindset. This is primarily because anything that you perceive and observe from a framework based in duality can reinforce the strength of the condition you find yourself in. You see? It just reinforces. Duality reinforces everything. You see? You cannot do it to yourself. There is only God. There is only abundance. There is only prosperity. There is only health. There is only love. The other things do not exist, people. They're illusions that you make up. It is the blueprint or the conceptualization of the master architect that provides the template for the house of clay to be built. What does that mean? Yes, there's a master architect, but it's the clay, and it's mutable. We can take that clay and build what we want with it, but the clay is God. But God doesn't say you must build it this way. You must have this reality. God only says, here's the clay. What are you going to do with the clay? God says, here is your life. What are you going to do with your life? Here is a mind that I gave you. What are you going to do with your mind? How are you going to mold it? Make sense? Take that clay that's out there and make something with it. That's how much God loves you. That is how much God loves you. Wonder how much God loves you? How many other things do you know that will allow you to take them and mold them into anything? How many other things do you know? Name one. God allows you to take it and mold it into anything that you want. The whole point about morphic fields, and you have to remember when I talk about morphic fields, you can morph anything. And it's a morphic field that we live in. This thing that we call the mind of God, which I just told you, we live, move, and have our being in, is a morphic field. And you get into that field and you can morph the reality that you want. The whole point about morphic fields is that nature, as we know it, is mutable and adaptable. Mutable. Remember those two words, mutable and adaptable. Now, if you don't think that that is true, then you know nothing about evolution. You know nothing about evolution. We always adapt. We are mutable. We have the clay of God inside of us and all around us. We can take that clay and mold it into anything that we want. How many times have I told you to look at this whole universe as the Play-Doh factory? And take that clay, run it through that factory. You have to have the mold for the clay to go in. You build the mold. God will give you the clay to fill that mold and to make your life wonderful. It is a mental world we live in. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.